们做了在主里做了这样美好的工作。
I think most of you know that I have moved back here and I'm getting married in 2 weeks.
我现在已经搬回了美国，然后我两个礼拜以后就要结婚了。
So I'm excited about the next chapter that God has for my life.
所以我非常的迫不及待的想要来展开神为我预备我人生下一个阶段。
And my fiance is Canadian, so after the wedding, I will be moving to Canada.
我的未婚夫是加拿大人，所以结婚之后我就会搬到加拿大去。
And I never in my wildest dreams thought about moving to Canada.
我从来没有想到我会搬到加拿大去。
So, this is a new thing for me, and you know, I've spent many years in Mongolia and China and got used to life there.
我过去好多年在蒙古，在中国各地，已经习惯了那里的生活。
And that became my comfort zone.
所以其实那才是我的舒适圈。
And so moving to Canada is definitely God pushing me out of my comfort zone again.
所以搬到加拿大去也是神让我要踏出这个舒适圈。
So I would still ask for your prayers as I make this next step.
所以我希望大家还是继续为我祷告，因为我要踏出这个新的一步。
I still need your prayers, and I will try to stay in touch, although I won't send newsletters as often as I have in the past.
那我还是会跟大家保持联络，但是我不会像过去一样常常在寄出这个我的信息。
I don't know exactly what God has for me in Canada, other than to figure out marriage.
我现在也不太确定神让我去加拿大做什么。我现在只知道第一个事情就先结婚。
I think the first step is also to figure out immigration, which is quite complicated.
所以我想第一件事情，我也是要先知道怎么就是移民到那里去的一个过程，应该也是蛮复杂的。
And once that's figured out, I would really like to get a job teaching English, similar to what I did in China. I love that.
那么等到这个移民的事情过了之后，我希望可以在那边找到一个教英文的工作。我在中国也都是做这样子的工作。
There are a lot of immigrants in Canada. I'll be in Ottawa, the capital city, so there are many possibilities for work and ministry.
在加拿大有很多的移民，然后我会住在 Ottawa, 渥太华就是首府，所以呢也是会有很多的服事的机会。
A couple of weeks ago, I went to visit my fiance, and together we went up to the north part of Quebec, far from everything. It reminded me of being in Mongolia again.
我两个礼拜前去看我的未婚夫，然后我们一起去魁北克北边的地方，是非常的好像是深山里面，然后让我想起蒙古。
And we helped with a camp for Native Canadian teens.
然后我们在那边给加拿大的原住民的青少年那边办了一个夏令营。
And so we were in this beautiful setting by a lake, staying in little cabins, outhouses, very primitive camp.
我们在一个营地里面，然后他们的厕所是那种户外的，有一个坑的，然后在小木屋里面住的是非常原始的。
And the teens who were at the camp were very strong, but somewhat hard-hearted bunch.
那这些年轻人呢，他们都非常的强壮，但是他们的心呢还有点硬。
Even in their beautiful little town, there's problems with drugs and just it's not what it looks like on the outside.
他们居住的地方虽然是非常的美丽，但是还是有毒品等等的一些问题。表面上看非常美丽，但是还是有一些。
So that ministry is close to my fiance Andrew's heart. So we're praying about what God has for us in the future.
所以我的未婚夫 Andrew 呢，他对这个事工他就特别有负担，所以我们现在还在祷告，看神将来怎么带领我们。
So again, please pray with us.
所以欢迎你们，邀请你们跟我们一起祷告。
And again, thank you for your support and your prayers over the years.
然后我要再次谢谢你们过去这些年给我的祷告跟支持。
When I went to Mongolia, I expected God to do something through me.
我到蒙古去的时候，我那个时候是本来想说神会使用我来做很多事情。
And as I look back, I see that the biggest work God did was in me.
但后来我发现其实是神是让我改变的最多。
And I am amazed and delighted at the work that God has done in me to transform me through my time overseas.
那我真的很感谢神，在海外这段时间，神真的是对我做了很多更新的工作。
And I'm just overwhelmed with gratefulness as I think of the body of Christ that has been a part of that work that God has done in my life.
然后我想到神在我生命中做的改变，其实也是很多弟兄姐妹一起支持着我，所以你们都是我的同工，所以非常感谢神。
And also know that God has used your investment for work amongst the Mongolians. I had the privilege of working with several Mongolian churches and seeing God do great things.
那么你们的支持呢？我们都用在蒙古的教会上面。我在那边是跟好几个不同的蒙古教会合作，看到神的工作。
So I'm just looking for as many ways as possible to say thank you and praise God.
所以我只是要再度的向你们说谢谢，还有感谢赞美神。Thank you. Sarah has been one of our missionaries that we support for many years. Now she's moving on, so let's rejoice with her and also pray for her, keep her in prayer. So are the kids going to go? Okay. Kids, you're dismissed to the children's church.
Please join me in welcoming Professor Jay Wang into the pulpit team as our newest translator.
请大家欢迎我。
All right, we're in Acts 5 today.
我们今天要讲的是《使徒行传》第五章。
Let me give you a little background information before we look at today's text.
在我们读今天的经文前呢，让我先给大家一点背景知识的介绍。
So the early church is thriving at this time.
当时呢，早期的教会正在蓬勃发展。
A lot of people sold their properties and shared what they had with the poor.
许多人呢，把他们的地产都卖掉了，然后把收入来的钱呢，分给穷人。
And if you remember from Pastor Solomon's sermon, a couple named Ananias and Sapphira also donated money from what they got selling their property.
如果大家还记得Solomon 牧师的讲道的话，那有一对夫妻叫做亚拿尼亚和撒菲拉，他们也把自己的地产卖掉，然后把全捐出来。
However, they lied about the amount. They told Peter that they gave 100%, but in fact they kept something for themselves.
但是呢，他们对捐钱的金额呢撒了谎。他们告诉 Peter 说呢，他们把所有卖地产来的钱都捐出来，但实际上呢，他们自己留了一些。
So they wanted face, they wanted a name, but they weren't true to themselves and to God.
所以他们想要这个脸面，想要这个名声，但是却不愿意和神讲实话。
So Pastor Solomon's message was that in the church we want to strive for authenticity.
所以这个Solomon 牧师的这个信息呢，就是说在教会中呢，我们实际上一定要诚实。
To be able to truly open up with our struggles in life.
一定要能够真正的把自己敞开心扉，能够把我们生活中的这个争斗呢讲出来。
So after Ananias and Sapphira's incident, the apostles continued to perform signs and wonders.They healed the sick and they casted out demons.
在亚拿尼亚和撒菲拉这个事件发生之后呢，使徒们继续呢行神迹，做善事。他们治愈了疾病，然后驱鬼。
And chapter 5 verse 14 says, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number.
五章使徒行传五章十四节说，越来越多的人呢相信了神，然后这个教会的人数增长得很快。
And when more people heard about what they were doing, they carry all the sick to the streets because the apostles simply can't see everyone.
当越来越多的人知道这些使徒行神迹的时候呢，他们就把很多生病的人都抬到了街上，因为呢，使徒不可能一一治愈每一个人。
So imagine this. Let's pretend that Peter and the rest of the apostles are healing the sick in this church.
让我们现在大家想象一下，假设彼得和其他的这个使徒呢，在我们这个教会中治愈疾病。
No matter what kind of diseases, they were healed.
不管什么样的疾病，他们都能治愈。
Cancer, Alzheimer, dementia, leukemia, you name it.
癌症、阿尔兹海默氏病、痴呆症、白血病等等。
So many people want to come into the church that this small building simply won't fit.
有很多的人会想来到这个教会，让他们医治疾病。我们这个小小的教会是不能够容纳这些人。
So people were lying in the parking lot on the streets, hoping that when the apostles come out, their shadows will fall on the sick.
所以这些人会在我们的停车场或者街上躺着。希望呢，这些使徒出来的时候，他们的影子能够照在这些生病的人身上。
And did the shadows do anything?
他们的影子真能做神迹吗
？Apparently they did.
显然是这样的。
Because at the end of verse 16 it says all of them were healed.
因为在第十六节最后说，所有的这些人都治愈了。
Imagine that.
大家可以想象这样的一个情景。
And if you remember the text from last week, you know what would happen after huge success.
如果大家还记得上个礼拜的这个经文的话，大家应该知道在一个巨大的成功之后会发生什么事情
？Persecution，
会有迫害发生。
So now let's read from verse 17 to 33。
所以让我们大家现在读经文的十七节到三十三节，大家可以用任何大家觉得舒服的语言来读。
大祭司和他一切的同仁，就是撒都该教门的人，都起来。满心妒恨，
就下手拿住使徒，
收在
外
间。
但
主的使者开了监门，领他们
出来
说：“
你
们
去站
在
殿
里，把这生
命
的
道
都
讲
给
百
姓
听。”
使
徒
听
了
这话，天将
亮
的时候，
就
进
殿
里去教训
人。
大
祭
司和他
的
同
仁
来
了，
叫其公
会
的
人
和
以
色
列
族
的
众
长
老，
就
差
人
到
监
里
去，
要把
使
徒
提
出
来。
但
差
役
到
了。
不
见他
们
在
监
里，就回来禀报说：“我们看见监牢关得极妥当，看守的人也
站
在
门
外。即使开了门，里面一个人都
不
见。”
守
定
官
和
祭
司
长听
见这话，
心
里
犯
难，
不
知
这
事将来
如
何。有一个人来禀报说：“你们收在监里的人，现在站在殿里教训百姓。”于是守定官和差役带使徒来，并没有用强暴。因为怕百姓用石头打他们，带到了便叫使徒站在公会前。大祭司问他们说：“我们不是严严的禁止你们，不可奉这名教训人吗？你们倒把你们的道理充满了耶路撒冷，想要叫这人的血归到我们身上。”彼得和众使徒回答说：“顺从神，不顺从人是应当的。你们挂在木头上杀害的耶稣。”我们祖宗的神已经叫他复活，神且用右手将他高举，叫他做君王，做救主，将悔改的心和赦罪的恩赐给以色列人。我们为这事做见证，神赐给顺从之人的圣灵，也为这事做见证。公会的人听见就极其恼怒，想要杀他们。Sorry, that's it. So what's going on here?
所以现在发生了什么呢
？We know the apostles were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
我们知道这些使徒是在传福音。
And not only that, they also have the power to heal the sick and cast out demons.
不仅仅如此，他们还有这个能力治愈疾病和驱赶魔鬼。
The Sanhedrin was so jealous that they were ready to have the apostles killed.
公会的人实际上是非常的嫉妒，所以希望把他们杀掉。
The funny thing is, in their conversation with the apostles.The Sanhedrin didn't speak to respond the apostles.
可笑的是在这个公众的人公会的人和使徒对话的时候，他并没有直接的回答使徒的话。
So when the apostles said Jesus rose from the dead.
所以当这个公会当使徒说这个Jesus 从死中复活。
The Sanhedrin didn't say no. Jesus did not rise from the dead. You are lying.
公会的人并没有说 Jesus 没有从死中复活，你们在撒谎。
Or when the apostles said you killed Jesus, they didn't say no, we didn't kill Jesus, you're lying.
或者当使徒说你们杀掉了基督耶稣，公会的人并没有说没有，我们没有这样做。
They didn't say any of these. They just become furious.
他没有说任何这些事情，他们只是很恼怒。
So they were essentially just like stomping their feet, like a little kid who is frustrated because he couldn't get his way.
所以公会的人实际上就像一个五岁的孩子没有得到他想要做的事情在拼命的跺脚。
We know who is in the right and who is in the wrong. It's obvious to us.
我们知道谁对谁错，这很明显。
But note this.
但是我们知道这些。
From the point of view of the Sanhedrin, they were in the right. The apostles were in the wrong.
但是从公会的人的角度来想，他们是正确的，使徒是错误。
Today we are going to take the perspective of the Sanhedrin.
今天呢，让我们来从公会的人的角度来想一想。
We are used to identify ourselves with the apostles or the positive characters in the Bible.
我们已经习惯将自己的身份定性为使徒和这个圣经中那些比较正确的这个人的一方。
But I think there's a lesson to be learned from identifying ourselves with the Sanhedrin.
但是我觉得呢，我们也能从把自己现在为定性为这个公会众人的这个角度来学一些经验和教训。
When the Sanhedrin saw that the apostles were doing, they were filled with jealousy.
当这个公会的人看见使徒正在行的神迹的时候，他们的心里实际上充满了嫉妒。
And notice this, the apostles did not do anything to hurt them or sin against them.
大家应该注意到的是，这些使徒实际上并没有做任何事情伤害这些公会的众人。
They never went to the Sanhedrin and said to them, "You guys, you're all wrong. You need to repent."
这些使徒从来没有到公会的人那里去指责他们，说你们做的事情都是错误的，你们应该悔改。
They were simply preaching the truth to the crowds from what they know.
他们实际上做的就是向这些众人向众人这个传道，传真实的上帝真实的传道。
And the crowds loved them.
这些众人呢，实际上很爱戴他们。
What happened inside the hearts of the Sanhedrin is a complicated thought process.
这些公会的众人心里所想、所想的事情呢，实际上是一个很复杂的思维过程。
I want to say that it's the same thought process of the priests and the Pharisees that put Jesus to death.
我想说的是，这个思维的过程是和当时那些大祭司和法利赛人把耶稣基督钉死在十字架上的是一样的。
It started with jealousy.
这都是从嫉妒开始的。
But it became the impetus for them to accuse Jesus of sinning against God.
这些嫉妒呢，慢慢的就变成了他们指责耶稣基督犯罪，违反这个神的这一个动力。
First they were jealous, then they were soon convinced that they weren't jealous. They were what they have is the righteous anger.
开始他们只是嫉妒。但是很快呢，他们就自己把自己这个相信自己认为呢，其实这不是嫉妒，而是呢耶稣基督的错。
易怒
啊，易怒
，righteous anger， 易怒 ，it's Jesus' fault. How can he claim to be God's equal？
耶稣基督怎么能自称他是这个神的儿子
？It's the apostles' fault.
是使徒的错。
How can they preach this heresy？
他们怎么能够传道这些呢
？Soon the Sanhedrin were convinced that God is on their side.
不久呢，公会的众人就自己的让自己相信呢，神是站在他们这一边。
And they need to fight for the truth or fight for God.
他们需要呢，为这个真实，为这个神来奋争。
I'm going to tell you a true story.
我现在先给大家讲一个真实的故事。
This happened at a church in Vancouver where I used to live.
这个故事呢，发生在温哥华，我小时候在那里长大。
There once was a pastor who was doing a lot of good work.
有一个牧师呢，做了很多善事。
Many in his congregation loved him.
很多他们教会的人呢，都很爱戴他。
And as a result, other pastors and leaders became jealous.
结果是什么样呢？其他的牧师呢，和教会的领导呢，对他产生了这个妒忌。
And began to see everything he does as problematic.
开始呢，把他做的任何事情都看作是有问题的。
Gradually, rumors started to flow around.
慢慢呢，教会中有各种各样的谣言。
Eventually, they got the deacon's board to hold a forum on Sunday after service to publicly interrogate the pastor of the things they found problematic.
最终呢，他们让这个执事会呢，在这个一个星期天service 之后呢，做了一个公开的这个论坛，然后公开呢，这个指责这个牧师做的事情是不对。
Everyone, including the congregation, was there.
教会中所有的人都在场。
After the forum was over, the pastor had been publicly humiliated. The congregation was traumatized.
当这个公开的论坛结束之后呢，这个牧师呢被这个公开的这个羞辱了一番之后呢，整个这个教会呢都像受到了一个钝器，被钝器打了一样，精神受到了严重的创伤。
And the congregations were gathering in the lobby, and they were getting ready to leave.
教会的众人呢，在教会的这个外面集合，准备离开的时候。
An elder said this.
一个长老这样说。
We're plucking out a weed for the church.
我们正在从教会中拔出一根毒草。
What do you make of that?
我们应该如何想这个事情？
Isn't that a rather familiar attitude?
这不是不是一个很熟悉的这么一个思维的过程？
It's the pastor's fault.
是那个牧师的错。
He's hurting the church.
他在这个
He's hurting the church.
他在这个伤害这个教会。
We need to get him out of here.
我们必须把他除掉。
We need to fight for God.
我们必须为神来争斗。
The Sanhedrin is saying the same thing.
公会的众人呢，实际上说了同样的事情。
It's the apostles' fault.
是使徒的错。
They're misleading the unsuspecting public.
这些使徒呢，在误导会众。
We must stop them.
我们必须停止这件事情。
They all have reasons.
他们有足够的理由这样做。
They are so ready to stop them that they were ready to have them killed.
他们实际上有足够的理由呢，想把他们杀掉。
At this point, a wise man called Gamaliel comes to the rescue.
这个时候呢，有一个有智慧的人叫做加玛利，哎，出来呢拯救了这些使徒。
Let's read together now from verse 34 to 42.
现在我们大家一块儿读34节到42节。
但有一个法利赛人名叫加玛列，是众百姓所敬重的教法师，在公会中站起来，吩咐人把使徒暂且带到外面去，就对众人说：以色列人啊，论到这些人，你们应当小心怎样办理。从前丢大起来，自夸为大，服从他的人约有400，他被杀后，服从他的全都散了，归于无有。此后报名上册的时候，又有加利利的犹大起来引诱些百姓跟从他，他也灭亡，服从他的人也都四散了。现在我劝你们不要管这些人，任凭他们吧。他们所谋的所行的，若是出于人，必要败坏；若是出于神，你们就不能败坏他们，恐怕你们倒是攻击神了。公会的人听从了他，便叫使徒来把他们打了，又吩咐他们不可奉耶稣的名讲道，就把他们释放了。他们离开公会，心里欢喜，因被算为配这名为这名受辱。他们就每日在殿里，在家里不住的教训人，传耶稣是基督。 Thank you. Gamaliel is indeed a wise man.
加玛利确实是一个很有智慧的人。
He pacified a situation that would have turned to a bloodshed.
他把一个即将要变成一个血腥这个杀人场的一个情景给平息了。
The Sanhedrin was angry and he was able to talk sense into them.
公会的人当时是很生气，但是加玛列呢却有能力能够跟他们讲一些道理。
So what are his arguments?
所以他的这个主要的论断是什么呢？
Essentially, this is what he was saying.
实际上他说的就是这样。
Everything is in God's control.
第一，所有的事情都是神来控制的。
If something is of human origin, it will fail.
如果有些事情是人为的，那一定会失败。
There's no need for us to be the righteous judge.
并不需要我们作为一个公正的法官。
Or even carry out the sentence.
甚至去执行一些这个法官的这个宣判。
In fact, there's no way.For the Sanhedrin to know that they were in the right and the apostles were in the wrong.
实际上呢，这些公会的众人是没有能力能够确信他们是完全正确的，使徒是错误。
They needed to know that they could very well be the ones that was opposing God.
他们需要知道的事情，他们可能自己就是那些反对神的人。
Interestingly, Gamaliel is a Pharisee.
有趣的是呢，这个加玛利是一个法利赛人。
But a very different one.
但是一个很不同的法利赛人。
He's secure enough that he doesn't feel threatened by the apostle's success.
他自己有足够的安全感，他不认为呢他的安全受到使徒的这个威胁。
His friends might all oppose the apostles, but he doesn't follow blindly because he's a thoughtful person.
他所有的朋友都反对这些使徒，但他并没有盲从，因为他是一个有主见的。
The apostles were probably very surprised when they found out that the person who dissolved their crisis is a Pharisee.
使徒很有可能非常惊奇的发现呢，这个平息了这个危机的人是一个法利赛人。
And I think Luke wanted to make a point by recording this incident.
我觉得路克是想借着记录这个事件呢，说一些事实。
What Gamaliel is saying is that don't ever attack other people because you think God or God's truth is against them and with you.
加玛利所说的呢，实际上是不要去破坏别人，只是因为呢，你相信神或者神的真理站在你这一边。
The most dangerous thing one can do is to do something that displeases God while thinking God is on his side.
这个世上最危险的事情是什么呢？就是做一些事情呢，不被神喜悦，但是你却认为呢，神在你的身边。
The Sanhedrin seized the apostles and even wanted to kill them.
公会的人呢，抓住了这些使徒，甚至要杀掉他们。
One lesson we can learn from the Sanhedrin is that it sometimes is dangerous to enforce justice on behalf of God.
从这里我们能学到的一个教训呢，就是公会众人，从这些公会众人学到一个教训，就是有的时候我们以上帝的名义执行公义，实际上是有危险。
We all know that there's a group of people who do terrible things in the name of God.
我们大家都知道，在过去一些年中，有一些人或者一群人以上帝的名义做一些坏的事情。
Perhaps they started out with an evil desire for power.
很有可能他们初衷呢是要得到权力。
But in order to justify their action,They had to convince themselves that God wants them to do this.
但是呢，为了让他们的这些行动有这个道理呢，他们必须呢让自己相信神是在他们这一边。
Why are there so many suicide bombers?
为什么有那么多用这个炸弹做自杀攻击的人呢？
Because they believe that they will be rewarded in heaven for dying for an honorable cause.
因为他们相信呢，如果他们为了一个有正义的事业而死掉的话呢，他们会在天堂中得到回报。
They have somehow managed to believe that what they're doing is not only right but noble.
他们不知道有什么原因呢，让自己相信呢，他们所做的事情不仅是正确的，而且是高尚。
This group shows us it's dangerous to enforce justice on behalf of God.
这一群人实际上证明呢，这个以上帝的名义执行公义呢是危险。
You simply don't know.
你实际上自己并不是很清楚。
You could be confused.
你可能是迷惑的。
You could be terribly wrong.
你可能根本就是错误。
Let's come back to Gamaliel.
让我们回到这个加玛利。
What he said that day was of pivotal importance to the growth of the early church.
他在那天所讲的一切呢，对早期教会的发展是至关重要的。
Because if it wasn't for him, the apostles could have died on that day.
因为如果不是他的话，那一天使徒们可能会被杀掉。
And no one would take the gospel further and establish the early church.
如果那样的话，就没有人能够继续传福音，能够建立早期的教会。
God strategically used a Pharisee to accomplish his purpose of protecting the apostles from the Sanhedrin.
神实际上很有战略的用了一个法利赛人去完成了他这个保护使徒的这样一个目的。
And not only did the Sanhedrin give up wanting to kill the apostles, they were persuaded by Gamaliel.
最终呢，这些公会的众人不仅仅被说服不去杀掉这些使徒，而且他们被说服，他们实际上被这个加玛列给说服了。
They let the apostles go.
他们把这些使徒放走。
So we were able to see at the last part, verse 40-42, that they continued to preach the gospel. They never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah.
所以我们从刚才读的经文的后面一部分呢，可以看到，为了这个原因呢，使徒继续传福音，继续这个讲神的道理。
The Pharisee was the single group of people who were constantly rebuked by Jesus for being hypocritical in all of the gospel books.
法利赛人呢，实际上是这样一个群体，他们在圣经中呢，经常被这个 Jesus 来责备，说他们是伪善。
But in Acts, one Pharisee comes out to the rescue of the apostle and in turn saves the early church.
但是在使徒行传中呢，却有这样一个法利赛人站出来拯救了这些使徒，让他们也同时呢也拯救了早期的教会。
Isn't that something?
这是不是一个很重要的事呢？
I have never thought of it that way.
我以前从来没这样想。
A Pharisee saved the early church.
一个法利赛人拯救了早期的教会。
No matter who you are,
不管你是谁，
when you keep an open mind,
当你有一个这个开放的头脑的时候，
God can do a lot of things through you.
神呢会通过你成就很多事。
And King David knew this well.
大卫王呢 很明白这些事情。
Even when he had the chance to kill his enemy, he chose not to do so.
即使他有机会杀掉他的敌人的时候，他决定不这样做。
When Saul was pursuing David in order to kill him, David was hiding in a cave.
当扫罗在追这个大卫的时候，想要杀掉他，大卫当时呢藏在一个洞里。
And Saul happened to pass by. He didn't know that David and his men were inside the cave. So Saul went in to relieve himself. In other words, to use the bathroom.
扫罗呢当时并不知道大卫和他的人在这个洞里面，但是当时有内急，所以他就进去上厕所。
Saul was alone.
扫罗当时是一个人进去。
He was in a vulnerable situation.
他是一个很容易被攻击的情形。
David had his men with him, and they were all prepared.
大卫和他的人在里面已经是准备好。
Even his followers were saying to David, "This is God's will. He has delivered Saul into your hands. Kill him now."
即使是大卫的随从都这样跟大卫说，这是上帝的旨意，是神的旨意。他把扫罗送到你的手边上，把他杀掉。
But David did not kill him.
但是大卫并没有杀掉扫罗。
He only cut off a corner of Saul's robe.
他只是把扫罗的这个袍子的一边给用剑切掉。
And even after that, he felt guilty about it.
即使这样，事后他还是觉得很愧疚。
He said to his men,
他这样对他的随从说
"The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed."
神不允许我做这样的事情对我的主人，因为他是耶和华的受膏者。
Or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. David had every reason to kill Saul.
大卫有很多的原因去杀掉扫罗。
Saul has sinned against God.
扫罗对神有犯罪。
The spirit of God has deserted him.
神的灵已经抛弃了扫罗。
And he has gone crazy.
他已经变疯了。
He had tried several times to murder David while David was serving him.
当大卫这个服侍他的时候，他想很多次都想杀掉大卫。
Saul even attempted to kill his own son.
扫罗甚至想杀掉他自己的儿子。
No one will blame David if he killed Saul that day in the cave.
如果大卫杀掉扫罗的话，那天在洞里杀掉扫罗的话，没有人会去责备大卫。
He would become the king of Israel sooner.
他会这样做的话，他会更快的成为以色列的国王。
But he refused to do that.
但他拒绝这样做。
Because he's not Saul's judge, God is.
因为他不是扫罗的法官，神是扫罗的法官。
Instead of choosing to be like the Sanhedrin, we can choose to be like David.
我们应该。像大卫一样，而不像公会的人那样做。
When we have all the reasons in the world to judge and even carry out the sentence, choose to be merciful.
即使我们有所有的理由去作为一个法官，即使我们有权利能够这个宣判的话，我们也应该更加慈善。
Choose to commit things into God's hand.
我们应该选择呢，把事情放到神的手里。
God can work in miraculous ways that our minds cannot even begin to imagine.
神做事情可以很有很多奇迹，超过我们常人的想象。
Jesus said, "Don't just love your brothers, love your enemies."
神说呢，要不要去爱你的这个，不要光爱你的这个
弟兄
姊妹，你应该还应该爱你的敌人。
And who are the enemies?
谁是我们敌人呢
？Love those who are sinning.
爱那些这个犯罪的人。
Love those who are committing wrongdoings.
爱那些做错事情的人。
Love those who hold different perspectives.
爱那些和我们看法不一样的。
Love those whom you don't understand.
爱那些你不理解的。
There's always someone around you whom you think has been doing things wrongly.
你身边总会有些人你认为做的事情不合你的理念。
What he did or he said is inappropriate.
他的所做所说的并不恰当。
It's hurting other people. Maybe it's hurting the church.
他们的所作所为呢，可能会伤害别人，甚至伤害我们的教会。
Instead of judging him or grow distant from him, try harder to care for him and grow closer to him.
与其呢，去判断他们，去这个远离他们，我们还不如尽我们的努力和他亲近。
Who knows? Maybe you will change your mind about him and understand him a bit more when you become his friend.
有的时候呢，你这样做呢，可能会，谁知道有可能会改变你的想法，甚至你会和他会成为一个好朋友。
Perhaps you'll be able to have an open line of communication and tell him what's on your mind.
有可能的话呢，你应该去和他有一个开诚布公的这个谈话。
Let God be the judge, you be his friend.
让神成为法官，你作为他的朋友。
Now let's have Caleb come up and lead us to sing the response hymn.
现在请回应诗歌。
Let's all stand and let's sing the song together. Change my heart.
Let us pray.
我们大家一起祷告。
Father God, we thank you again for bringing us here together. We thank you for bringing all the believers and the unbelievers as well.